Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. I've been preaching from this now. This is 4 weeks, and we've taken each little piece of this and broken down these titles 4 different ways. And here we go. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. And I piece those together into one phrase because most modern translations of the Bible do that. Wonderful Counselor, and it's beautiful. Second, Mighty God. And we talked about how Jesus is God in flesh, the Son of God. Thirdly, Everlasting Father. Last week I talked about how he reveals the Father to us and he brings to us an idea of what the true Heavenly Father looks like. And then today I want to deal with this final phrase here, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. How many knows peace is something that we all want and we all need? And yet peace remains for a lot of folks just an elusive goal. One little girl was diligently working on a school assignment when her father walked into her room and asked what she was doing. And she told him, she said, Dad, I'm working on a plan for world peace. He said, well, isn't that kind of a tall task for a little girl like you? And she said, no, don't worry. There are 2 other girls in my class working on it too. World peace. And statistics say, some statisticians have studied world history and said that only 8% of written history that we have, only 8% of that time has the world seen some sort of world peace. Even though there have been over 8,000 treaties signed between nations throughout history. And I think this passage is speaking of peace coming in 2 ways. First of all, it's a passage about the coming Messiah to the nation of Israel. The restoration of Israel, a kingly Messiah of the order of David. David failed the Lord at points, and so did all of his ancestors. Everyone who came after him, rather. All of those who came after him and before, they failed the Lord because they were fallible human beings. If you study the life of the kings and their reign in Israel or in the territory of Judah, they both failed God eventually. And so it came to the time of the writing prophets that the prophets started looking for a coming king of the line of David who would not fail God, but who would fulfill all of the promises and all of the demands of the covenant in the Old Testament. And then we see this coming in a little baby born in Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary, this perfect Messiah, this ultimate fulfillment of a Davidic king came to earth in the person of Jesus. And Isaiah prophesied about it and said, he shall be called the Prince of Peace. And there's 2 little Hebrew terms here that are so powerful. The first is the term for prince. It's the term sar in Hebrew, rather. And in Hebrew, the term sar simply means a captain or an overseer or a commander or a general. A captain or overseer, a commander or general. A captain of what? An overseer of what? Well, the next term qualifies that. The next term is shalom. He's the prince, the captain, the commander of shalom. And the term shalom is so popular, if you go to Israel today, people will greet you and just say, shalom. And if you're from Carolina, we say back, shalom, y'all. You can even buy signs, shalom, y'all. Anyhow. And shalom simply means peace. So when they greet someone in Israel, they say peace. And but it's such a powerful word, it has a lot more depth and a lot more oomph to it when we drill down in it. The term also means health. It's used in context in the Old Testament, meaning health to you. Not only peace to you, but health to you. It also means wholeness or totality or entirety. That things are not broken and shattered, but things are whole and are together as they should be. So when we say shalom, we not only say peace or tranquility, but we're saying health to you and we're saying wholeness and entirety to you. It's interesting that the word integrity conveys this idea of wholeness. The word integrity comes from the root word integer, which means a whole number. And if you have integrity, it speaks of your wholeness of character. that you're not fractured or broken in character, but you have integrity. Isn't this good? It's good to go to language class early in the morning, isn't it? So this is powerful. So the source of peace, however, in the Hebrew Scriptures is God. He is the source of peace. He's the one who brings peace to the people. And He's the one bringing a new world order in the future, where we're going to see nations at peace with one another. And that's never happened in the history of the world in completeness. We're going to see it one day. The Bible talks about, through the prophets, a day coming when nations will be at peace with each other. The prophet said that they'll turn their swords into plowshares. They'll turn their fighting instruments into instruments of farming. The Bible says one day the lamb will lay down with the lion, meaning no more aggression even between the animal kingdom. Also it said there's going to be a day when a young baby will play in the den of a poisonous snake. That God's going to shift nature as we know it, and He's shifting human relations as we know it when Jesus returns and sets up His kingdom, which I still believe in. Can you say amen? Amen. A total new world order is coming, and the Prince of Peace is going to bring that. But right now, we're living in the time between the times. The time between when Christ came on earth in human form and between the time when He's going to come back again in His fullness and in power and in glory in the future. So you and I are in this tension between the times, and we see peace manifested, not global peace obviously, but we have spiritually experienced His peace, and it affects the relationships all around us. Can somebody say amen? No wonder He said in Luke chapter 1, behold, to the Virgin Mary, the angel said, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call His name Jesus, which is Yeshua in Hebrew, meaning God is salvation. And He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. There's going to be a governmental aspect to His reign. He's going to rule in perfect authority and perfect justice, and there will be perfect peace on the earth. It says, and He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there will be no end. Isaiah said in that Isaiah 9 passage that of the increase of His kingdom there would be no end. So of the increase, it means throughout the ages and throughout eternity, the increase of His government will never end. It will keep expanding throughout eternity. You think, well, we're just going to go sit in heaven, eat fudge, and play harps. No, I think there's more to it than that. I think there's some work to do. I think the kingdom's going to be expanding throughout eternity. Amen? And of His peace, it's never ending, the expansion of it. I really believe that when we get to heaven, I'm not preaching Bible, I'm just preaching what Hans believes, which is based on Scripture, but this isn't in there. But I kind of believe when we get to heaven, we're not just going to see God and know Him totally and game over. I think throughout eternity, more of His person is going to be revealed to us. I just take this as a vision, but one man had a vision of heaven. And he said in this vision of heaven, he saw the throne of God. And he saw the seraphim, which were angelic creatures, flying over the throne. And each time they flew over the throne, they cried out. And he said they were crying out because each time they flew over the throne, they saw a different aspect of God that they hadn't seen before. Could it be throughout all eternity, we're learning more and more about who He is and going deeper and deeper into His love and going deeper and deeper into His peace? I want to go to heaven. Maybe not right now. I got some work to do. But how many want to go? I want to go. I want to be there, don't you? Hallelujah. Three things about His peace. Very simple things I want to tell you. Number one, Jesus is the one who gives true peace. There's peace that's incomplete, peace that's in part that we experience here on earth, but Christ gives true peace. And He provided it for us. Isaiah chapter 53 says, the chastisement for our peace was upon Him. Meaning He was beaten He was chastised. He was bruised. He was crucified in exchange for us, so that you and I could experience peace. And Jesus gives peace. In the world, we sometimes have peace through deception. It's like a false peace. Or sometimes maybe we experiment with drugs and try to get some kind of tranquility through that. Or maybe even through distractions and just thinking different things will bring us peace. But I'm telling you, Jesus is the only one who brings perfect peace. He's the one who can take the fractured pieces of your soul and weave them back together and mend them back together into complete wholeness. But peace has a different understanding in Greek philosophy than it does in Hebrew rabbinic thought. And just hang on with me for a few moments because this is powerful. In Greek philosophy, peace was conveyed as absence of conflict. That there's nothing, everything is at peace and we're all kosher and we're all like copacetic and there's no one fighting anyone. But I think the Hebrew sense of peace is a little different. That is, we have wholeness and tranquility in the midst of conflict. Hold on, y'all hearing me? Peace isn't necessarily the absence of conflict, but peace is an inner tranquility, a wholeness in the middle of conflict. Remember the story of Jesus, Mark chapter 4? The Bible tells the story of Jesus was with his disciples in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. A great storm occurred, wind started whipping, waves were boisterous. And the disciples were fearful. They were afraid for their lives. And they looked around and they saw Jesus asleep. Now Jesus was asleep in the boat, yet they were freaking out because of the winds and waves. And they screamed, "Master, do you not care that we're perishing?" Jesus arose, stepped out on the bow of the ship, and said, "Peace, be still." The Bible said when he spoke that, the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And then he turned around and said, "What's wrong with you guys?" It was my translation. And he rebukes them for lack of faith. "Do you not have any faith?" Why was he asleep in the boat when there was a storm going on? You know, I'm just going to venture at an answer here. First of all, I think he was asleep because he had told them, "Hey, we're going to the other side of the lake. Now let's get in the boat and go." Once he speaks something, it's going to happen. No matter if there's a storm coming or if it's beautiful, it doesn't matter. We're going to the other side. Second thing is, he knows that he created the winds and he created the seas. And the master of the universe was in that boat. And I think the master of the universe could take care of a little storm, even if he had to get out and walk on it, which he's been known to do. So it speaks something to me. Though everything may be going crazy around us and the world may be in havoc and we may have our families, you know, fragmented and in disarray and there's different things happening, when Jesus steps into the situation, he can step out to the storms in our soul and he can just say, "Peace." And when he speaks it, everything changes. Everything literally changes. Not like the gods of Rome or the gods of Greece that didn't necessarily interfere in the affairs of life unless it was for some manipulative purpose. They pretty much lived on Mount Olympus in mythology. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible created the earth and all of its laws and all of its principles and then didn't just spin us out there in the universe like the deists believe and say, you have laws to live by. I'm hands off from this moment on. No. But he decided to come down and step into our situation and get in the midst of our life and in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our hurts, and in the midst of our victories, and walk with us day by day, moment by moment, emotion by emotion, hard time after hard time, open door after closed door. He decided to come and walk with us through every bit of it. That's the peace of God. He gives us peace and trust like no one else. Hallelujah. Just doing an experiment. In the morning service, I thought about Mystery Science Theater while I was preaching. And you got to be a total nerd to remember Mystery Science Theater. But it used to be a television program that came on and they would show these old movies that were horrible. But these robotic type people were stranded on a planet, and as their torture, they had to watch these bad old American movies. But you would see the robots' heads in the front of the theater kind of like this. Can y'all see me? And they would talk to each other and just make sarcastic jokes, and it was hilarious if you have that kind of sense of humor. So this is the theater of our lives. And here Hans is, somewhere in the middle. But you know what? God doesn't leave me there alone. But He steps into the theater of my life, raises His hands, and speaks, "Peace, be still." He comes into the theater where I live. He comes to my house. He comes into my heart. He comes into my business affairs. He gets involved in my family. He gets in there and He steps out on the bow of the ship and He says, "Now things should be as I'm going to command them to be in your life. And from this moment on, I speak peace over you, Hans. I speak health and I speak prosperity and I speak blessing and I speak wholeness and I speak tranquility." Come on, somebody, shout amen. So one of the greatest benefits of knowing Jesus is to have peace. One of the greatest benefits, this is the second thing. Not only do we get true peace through Jesus, but one of the greatest benefits of knowing Him is just having peace in our hearts. How many of you, when you accepted Christ into your life, you felt peace come? Come on, should be every Christian in here. I've never talked to a Christian who couldn't tell me once they accepted Christ that they didn't have peace in their heart. I accepted Christ when I was 16 years old. And one of the most distinct memories I have of being saved was going home one night and laying down in bed and being in perfect peace. Now you say, "What did you do at 16, Hans, that you needed?" Well, believe me. Hey, I was a sinner like everyone else. I had this conflict of soul like every one of us. And when I laid down in bed, I realized, oh my gosh, I'm at peace. And it was a supernatural peace. It was something that the world couldn't give me. Something friends couldn't give me. It was no experience I'd had could give me that type of peace. He brings perfect peace. He said in John 14, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." He gives us perfect peace. And what's happening, I think, is we're seeing the reconstruction of our soul. We're seeing the reconstruction of all these fragmented pieces coming together under His blessing. And it's like, oh my word, this is what life's supposed to be like. I heard that several years ago I preached in Montana, and my family and I stayed in a cabin, and this German lady owned the cabin, and she told us, she said, "Now, one other speaker stayed here before, and he slept in this bed right here, and his name was Jeff Finholt." Now, some of y'all may not remember who Jeff Finholt was, but there was a traveling play that traveled around years ago. It was very popular, called Jesus Christ Superstar, and he played Jesus. He went on to sing for the band Black Sabbath, which I know y'all listen to in your quiet time. But so anyhow, he went to sing for the band Black Sabbath, and then he said that he was just doing drugs, and he was living that rock and roll lifestyle, and he was living out, I think, in L.A., and he just said his life was just a turmoil. And one day, he got out of his apartment, he went down and walked the streets. And he said, "I ran into these Italian guys who were witnessing to people on the streets." He said they were mafioso type guys. You know, and he said they witnessed to him like, "You need a Jesus. If not, we take care of you." You know, so he said, "I accepted the Lord. What other choice did I have?" So he got saved on the street by these mafia hitmen for Jesus. And he said the first thing he noticed is he walked back up to his apartment and looked out the window, and his eyes focused on the trees and the leaves for the first time in years. Now that may not sound like much to you, but maybe you haven't lived the kind of life this guy lived. He went on and sang for Jesus and preached for Jesus. I guess he's still going. Being able to focus on leaves. Being able to lay down at night and have peace. I'm telling you, the peace, right as I was coming to the Lord, I hadn't really accepted Him into my heart, but I laid down on my bed one night and we played heavy metal music in high school, and there was a song by a band called Slayer running through my head. And Slayer is basically a dark metal, kind of a satanic band. And this one lyric was running through my head, and it got to the point that it was like torment and I couldn't get rid of it. Now, I wasn't raised in church, but I knew one gospel song, and that was Amazing Grace. And I knew only one line to it. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And even before I gave my heart to Christ, I started singing that song in my bed one night, and instantly the atmosphere changed. Instantly I had peace and release from that song. I wouldn't trade that for all the gold in California. I wouldn't trade it for all the oil in Texas. I wouldn't trade it for all the fame of man. I wouldn't trade it for any praise on Broadway. There's nothing in this life that is as good as that. The peace that God gives is different. It's one of the greatest blessings of knowing the Lord. Can you say amen? Okay, we're running through. The third thing is, you know what? Peace is what the world desperately needs. Peace is what the world desperately needs. I mean, personally, people are confused, they're fearful, they're hurting. Domestically, people are fearful, they're divided, we have abuse. Nationally, internationally, societies are torn by war. Believe me, I just got back from West Africa a month or so ago, and it's amazing just to see some of the effects of nations that just been at war and war for years. It's amazing. And you know, no wonder God told us in Psalm 122, He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you, and peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. That we should pray this. God tells us to. We should pray for Jerusalem, and we should pray for peace, peace among the nations. However, I don't believe this is only dealing with the absence of conflict. But I believe it's also dealing with, pray for Jerusalem, that they would know what it is to serve the Messiah, and they would know who He is, and that their eyes would be open to who Jesus is. So can we lift our hands right now and say, Father, we pray for Jerusalem, and we bless the Israelites, and we pray revival happens. We pray the Messiah becomes known, and Jesus reigns. In love and peace, in Jesus' name we pray. Can everybody shout amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Praying for Jerusalem that revival comes. Prayer that wholeness comes to our life. There's a story in Genesis chapter 28 of the young man Jacob. Jacob had a brother named Esau. They were at odds with each other because Jacob stole Esau's blessing and Jacob stole Esau's birthright. And so Jacob had to flee from his brother Esau and run for his life. And he was told to go down to his parents' hometown and find a wife among his people. So he starts that journey and he goes from a town in Hebrew called Beersheba. And he goes from Beersheba up to a place called Bethel. And there he encounters God at night in a vision. He sees a ladder extended to heaven, and he sees angels ascending and descending that ladder, and he wakes up from this vision and he says, truly, this is the house of God. And he names it Beth-El, the house of God. And then he prays a prayer and he says, Lord, I will serve you for the rest of my life if you bring me back in peace. If you bring me back in peace, and that term peace is shalom. But it's not just used for bring me back in tranquility and make sure there's no problems. No, I think there it's talking about wholeness, completeness, totality. Bring me back whole and bring my future family back with me. Because when God comes and gives peace, He starts working on the heart, and then He works from the heart outward, and He starts reconstructing the relationships in your life. And He starts blessing your family and blessing your friends and blessing the people you work for and blessing the vision and ideas in your heart, because peace doesn't just stay there, but it starts working on the outs from the inside out, and God brings this wholeness back. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm going to close with two thoughts, and they both come from rabbinic teachings in Judaism. The first is this, that the rabbis of Judaism teach that we should look back to the Exodus, to when God delivered the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. And that when they were being delivered, God commanded them to eat a meal that night. It's called the Passover meal. And they ate this meal in haste, shoes, sandals on, robe on, staff in hand, like they're ready to run and bolt out the door. And God said, eat this meal, and then afterwards, you're to commemorate that deliverance every year by eating that meal again and remembering what God did for you. And here's the thing the rabbis teach, and that is, as they remember that deliverance each year, they're also to remember how they were under slave masters and they were under taskmasters, and that since God delivered them, they were to never be that to any other people. But they would be to be the ones who bring peace instead of the ones who take peace. So let me translate this into Christian terms here. Every time we think about our deliverance from sin, and every time we think about how the Prince of Peace has come into our lives, it gives us all the more reason to want to be ones who bring peace to every situation that we walk into. We want to bring peace into the situations of our lives. No wonder the writer said in the New Testament, follow peace with all men and holiness. Without, no one shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness without. So to the rabbis, peace wasn't just a feeling. It wasn't just emotion. It was a value or even an ethical category. We are to walk in peace at all time. And there's this term, rodef in Hebrew. I know I'm laying a lot on y'all, but hey, it's the end of the year. This is cramming for a test. There's this term, rodef, which means the bringer. And rodef is used in Hebrew as the one who brings judgment upon someone who's murdered someone of your family. If you read the Old Testament, there was actually one who could go out and take vengeance for his family. And it's called the rodef, the one who brings judgment. However, when we see that combined with shalom, it changes meaning. Now the rodef is to be the rodef shalom. He's the one who brings not judgment, but he's the one who brings peace. And now you and I are to be the rodef shalom. We're to be the ones who bring peace in every situation. The ones who bring wholeness, understanding, tranquility. It doesn't mean the absence of strife. It doesn't mean the absence of conflict, but we become that rock in the midst of conflict. So let me translate this. How many of y'all are going to work tomorrow? 7, all right? How many are going to work Wednesday? You're going to walk into your work Wednesday, and as a believer, you're the one bringing the Prince of Peace with you. Let me talk to this crowd over here. They'll amen me. You're going to work Wednesday, and you're bringing the Prince of Peace with you. People may not see it, but when you walk in, the Prince of Peace is coming with you, and everything that He brings, wholeness and health and blessing and favor and tranquility, you're bringing that. What's that mean? You see one of your work associates, something's troubling them. They're crying. You say, hey, could you meet me at lunch? I just want to talk to you. And then at lunch, that lunch turns into a Holy Ghost prayer meeting. And you're praying for them, and you're letting that Prince of Peace that's in you get on them. Come on, amen? Maybe some of you are just stay-at-home moms, which is one of the greatest jobs in the world. Maybe some of you are just stay-at-home moms, and you think your life is a wreck. I mean, clothes stacked up to here in the laundry room, and, you know, 4-week-old lab experiments on the kitchen tables, and kids with their hair unbrushed and don't know when they've had a bath, and you're trying to survive. I want to encourage you. You are the peace bringer in that house. though it may seem like everything's out of control, when mom steps up, she got the Prince of Peace in her. She's bringing tranquility and order, and she's bringing health and wholeness, and she's the rock and the gravitas in that situation. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You shift the circumstance because of the peace bringer in you. You're not the one showing up complaining. You're not the one showing up gossiping about other people. You're not the one showing up cutting down your boss or the company. Not members of our church, I know, hallelujah. You're not the one who shows up at Walmart on Black Friday, and when they have those TVs on sale, you turn into Bruce Lee. I mean, it's and you're knocking, that's not us. We are peace bringers. Come on. We don't show up at church and cuss someone out because they take our parking space, which has happened. If you do that, don't buy one of our t-shirts today, please, dear God. We're not the ones who go to Virginia Beach and flip off people in traffic. We're not causing turmoil. We're bringing peace and we're bringing blessing. Come on, hallelujah. I'm meddling now and it's fun, amen. You're not the one who shows up at Christmas dinner and causes all the havoc. Why'd your brother not come? No. You're the peace bringer, man. You come in and everything shifts because you walk in. Well, you're not perfect, but man, there's something about you. There's an anchor in your soul. There's something in your spirit. Jesus lives inside. Holy Ghost power is in you. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be a child of the King and a child of the Prince of Peace. Can somebody give him a praise in here? Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him a praise. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a praise. Thank God for peace that passes all understanding. You know, there's a scripture in the New Testament that says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts and minds. Let the peace rule. Don't let the anger rule. Don't let the jealousy rule. Don't let the disappointment rule. Don't let the people talking about you rule. Let the peace of God be the thing that rules your life. Someone I know went through something this past year and they had a huge open door to be offended. I mean, a huge open door to really take an offense. And they spoke to me and I'm like, what are you going to do about this? And they said, you know what? No. This will not rule me. I'm blessing those involved in this. And I'm going to be clean in my spirit. I'm not going to take this offense and swallow it. I'm going to walk in peace. And that person has. Amen? Hallelujah. You ever seen somebody who doesn't take the peace pill? They take the sour pill. They chose the wrong one on the matrix. And they chose the pill to be upset and offended. And then every time you talk to them, do you know what happened to me? And every time that bitterness is coming out of them. But yet some people that take the right pill with Neo, and they come out and it's like, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, no, that was years ago, man. That's gone. Why are you bringing that up? That's not it. I don't live by that anymore. Come on, this is good. Let the Prince of Peace. Let's all stand. Thank you for listening to me, man. I hope y'all like to listen as much as I like to preach. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, rule over your family, rule over your kids. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless the moms in here. My heart went out to you when I used that illustration. People have come back to me and Jackie and said, hey, how did you raise your girls like you did? And we're like, we were just beating and banging and trying to get through life like everyone else. But God shows up in all that. And God does stuff we don't see. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can just lift your hand and say, Hans, thank you. You preached to me today. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Father, I pray for the moms right now that you bless them. And maybe there's some single dads in here. But God, I pray the main caregivers, I pray for them right now. And God, I pray supernatural peace on them this week. I pray that it just hits them. They just realize it as they're doing laundry or cooking dinner. They just say, oh my gosh, what peace I have in my heart right now. Thank you, Jesus. And it turns into a praise. Lord, I give you thanks for it right now. In Jesus' name. How many of you would be honest as heads are bowed and eyes are closed and say, Pastor Hans, I need prayer. I'm not serving the Lord. I'm not where I need to be, but I just want you guys to pray for me today. I want to accept Christ. I want to know the peace that you've been talking about. And I want to let him, I want to let Jesus come into all rooms in my heart. Not just one room, not just the living room, or not just the foyer. I want to let him in all of the rooms. I want to turn the keys over and say, come in. If that's you in here, let me see your hand. We're going to pray for you right where you stand. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe there's others. Pastor, pray for me. I want to let Jesus in every room. I want peace in every part of my life right now. Thank you, guys. Come on, pray with me. Father in heaven, I surrender all. I turn it all over. I turn the keys of my life into your hands, Lord. Come into my heart. Fill every part. Be Lord over every part. Holy Spirit, come and fill my life. Empower me to live. Live according to peace. Live according to your way. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we say amen as a church? Can we give God a praise right now? Thank you guys for watching or listening online today. I pray this service was a great blessing to you. You know, the greatest question you'll ever be asked in your life is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you serving the Lord with all of your heart? You know, my main goal in preaching, my main goal in providing these online services is to see people accept Christ and come to a vibrant relationship with God. So right now, if you've never accepted Him into your heart, why don't you pray this prayer with me and ask Him in? It's that simple. You just say, Lord, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. And God will make a dramatic change in your heart. And let's pray this right now. If you are ready to accept the Lord into your heart, you want to ask Him in, just pray this prayer with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, come into my life, come into my heart, be the Lord of my life. I give you all of my sin, all of my past, and I pray you wash it away and make something beautiful of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer, I believe God has come into your life and has done something amazing in your heart. Continue to follow us online. We would love to continue to be a blessing to you and your family.